And I'll see how it goes. But I do have something I feel like is in my spirit that might be beneficial. Something in my spirit that, you know, sometimes things can't be addressed through a Sunday morning message. But it's something that can potentially, if the Spirit of God's involved, it can activate you. And you get to the point where you, at least this, you know, I've heard things in my life and been involved in things in my life where I can hear it. And it doesn't necessarily change me to hear it, but I apply it in certain ways and I step forward in certain ways. And the bottom line is I can't stand before the Lord and say, I didn't know. Okay? And so sometimes the Lord continues to speak to us in different ways. Sometimes I know for me, the Lord has to remind me of things many times sometimes in my life. And there's areas in my life where He has to constantly stay on me and stay on my case. And there's times I can be a hard case about certain things. And I'm thankful that He's patient and long-suffering and merciful and kind and all those things that He is. He's better than I am, and He's better than I would be to people. And so God is good. And so I do have a few things I want to share this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 20. It's Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 20. And as you turn there, kind of wrapping up with Acts, I think, maybe, possibly. Been there since June. But we spoke in a couple weeks ago, or last week, I guess. Thank you for those who were here. I know the weather wasn't ideal. Paul's journey from Athens to Corinth. And how we looked in that, and then we looked in 2 Corinthians and spoke on our dependence upon the Lord in areas in our life. And I'm skipping through chapter 18. I'm sure there's some lovely stuff in there. But the Lord drew me to this passage. And this is Paul's third missionary journey. Just a quick recap. I've shared with you, in Acts, you have the Jerusalem church, which was really the ingrown church. If it was up to those guys, you and I probably wouldn't be in the kingdom of God today. And so we had the Jerusalem council, and we saw the Lord minister through the Gentiles. And then we went to Antioch, and Antioch was really the sending church, where they started sending out. And they said, you know, church is a place for equipping and essentially sending. Ephesus church was really the city transformational church. And it's a powerful church. And I actually spoke on the school of Tyrannus last year. I'm not sure how many of you remember it. I might speak on it again a couple passages above, a couple verses above. Someone gave me a word about that, and it spoke to me. But this week I'm going to look at verse 11 through 19, through 20 actually. I'm going to read it. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out from them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.'" Let me just stop, quick little point, real quick. Paul was able to operate in deliverance and cast out the demonic because of his relationship to Jesus. And authority always comes through relationship. And I've shared this story before. It's a good mental picture for me. When I was a young 7, 8 years old, my dad was the manager of a store. He ran the business, so I would go in after school and be a little brat and change things on people's desks and do whatever I wanted to do. And in a sense, I had authority to do that because my dad was in authority and I was in relationship with my father. So it gave me some a little more free reign. That's an imperfect example, but it's an example nonetheless. I have authority. I have everything I have in the Lord. It comes through relationship at the end of the day. Amen. So these guys didn't have relationship, and they tried to, "We adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." They didn't know the Lord. Okay. And then also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who also did so. And he said, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" I know of that verse. Are you known in the heavens? Does your relationship with God qualify that evil spirits can know you? I was talking to Brad once again last week, was sharing how he went into a store and there was a lady, I'm sure the details, but I said, man, she reacted and manifested when he came near. I said, that's a compliment. Yeah. And you're carrying something. You have a relationship with the Lord. I pray for that. I want that. It's a compliment to you. If you have it, you have a walk with the Lord. It says, then the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And so they were embarrassed and put in their place, right? And this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they count up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Okay. I was sharing with my wife what I want to say, what the Lord put in my heart. It's really, I said, it's like a level 10, not from the standpoint of this high, lofty thing. It's just there's so many different aspects and so many different gifted ministries. So many different you can speak. And I'm really going at it from one little sliver that the Lord's put on my heart. But what they did, the word of the Lord grew. They said, first and foremost, the supernatural is real. And that's something we would do well to know in America. There's a story that's in Haiti. I've never been to Haiti, but we had some guys in Bible school. And they would speak matter-of-factly about zombies there. And so what the witch doctors would do, they'd take a dead body, blow in it. Guy would just start, it's just a normal way of life. It's highly, highly spiritual there. And what they actually do in Haiti, when someone turns from that lifestyle and comes to Christ, it's not considered a done deed until they take all of their magic paraphernalia, all their satanic occult stuff, and they take and they actually burn it. It still happens today, right? Okay. I know everyone in this room. And I know none of you would call a psychic hotline. None of you would get your palm read. None of you would go in and dabble in those types of things. So going at it from a different angle, because there are other areas that we have in our life where the enemy can come in and keep us in a realm of bondage. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. It doesn't mean I'm not spirit-filled. It doesn't mean God can't use me. But it means there can be restrictions placed upon me. Sometimes there's an open door or an open gate in my heart and in my life. The Lord dealt with me on one for my own self this week. And so when the Lord saves us, when we come into the kingdom of God, it's through faith and repentance, right? Repentance is a continual deal. I don't just repent at the altar and then I'm done. I'm continually saying, I've done this a lot this week as the Lord spoke to me about this. Lord, I turn from this. Lord, I said this years ago. Lord, I cancel what I said years ago. There's one area the Lord brought back to mind probably 7 or 8, 9 years ago. And I just, Lord, I'm turning from that. I'm turning from this. I'm turning from that. It's the Lord's purpose. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So if I'm walking with the Lord, one, my life should be righteous. My righteousness is found in Him, but it also means I'm walking in a measure of it. Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Whenever I find myself in a realm of restlessness and turmoil, I'm probably not walking in the fullness that God has for me. Joy, you know. If I don't find myself living in a realm of joy, am I really walking in the fullness of what the Lord has for me? And so there's certain areas in our life, and I'm going to get to the point, and man, I'm not going to speak for long, but there's certain, we'll call them gates and openings that we can have in our life. It's a broad subject. You gave me a book on this, Diane. It even expanded me even more in it. But there's certain areas in our life where I'm saved. It's not an issue of my salvation. But I can have, like in my mind, my imagination, my thoughts. I can have in my body, my eye gate, my ear, my mouth, how I do things. And there's times if I'm not careful, the Lord's given us the armor of God, right? Ephesians 6. All right, Job talks about, if you're in the Bible reading plan, you read Job this week, I hope, right? So Job 1:10 says the Lord put a hedge, Satan said, you've put a hedge around him. You know, he's given us angels, an angelic activity to protect us. But there's times where I can, as a believer, open myself up to an area where I'm giving the enemy access and I let my guard down. And it can put me in a place where I'm not living in abundance that God has for me, right? I'm not. There's different signs. There's different things I look for But if I'm not living in the fullness and the potential and the full dimension of what the Lord has, you know, perhaps there's an area where I've let my guard down. I shared with you a story a few weeks ago and how easily it can happen. And then I want to get to the point of what I want to say. But there's just how easy it can happen that the guy in my church, he was an elder. He's been an elder for years. He was instrumental in my life. Tremendous teacher. But he preached at church, my home church, probably a couple months ago. And he shared how, you know, he had a history with pornography. And he'd overcome it and stepped through. He'd lost his accountability partner, his prayer partner. So he felt kind of isolated. And one of his co-workers sent him something. And he ended up looking what happened, that eye gate that he had. And he said, I'm just one time and looked. I'm going to put it down. And he kept going back and he kept going back. And the Lord put him, brought him to a place where his wife had to find out and he had to repent. And he's clean and he's free. My point of saying that is sometimes there are areas where I can be completely saved, I'm whole, but there's an area in my life where I let my guard down for a minute, I might let my shield down for a minute, and I let down, I can find myself carrying something I was never meant to carry. And he said, when I had that happen, he used to preach in our church, he said every time I knew the pastor wasn't going to be there, I'd make myself go to work. I didn't want him to call on me. He pretty much quit going to church. Went on K, he couldn't read his Bible, he had a hard time worshiping. He found himself in a place where he wasn't free, right? Is that what the Lord intends for us? Okay, his salvation wasn't in jeopardy, but was he walking in the fullness of what God had? No, he was finding himself in a place that wasn't, as I call it, in bondage. He was allowing something to open up to the enemy that gave the enemy access to get in there and kind of cripple and hinder what the Lord wants in our life. Amen. So I want to speak in really a couple different aspects this morning, and I believe the Lord's in it, but let me say this. Sins and sometimes wounds and hurts. I shared this a couple weeks ago as well. I keep saying that. I'm repeating myself on purpose. Remember in the Old Testament, a priest could not minister if he had scabs. And what's a scab? A scab is a wound that hasn't really healed yet. And I shared with you how if you read about battles when they used to, you know, duke it out, you know, those movies when the guys just walk and they're in the front line and there was tremendous bloodshed. They said you could hear flies that sounded like a freight train, okay? Wounds attract flies. And what's one of the things Jesus calls Satan? Calls him Beelzebub, which is prince of, lord of the flies. So sometimes if I have open wounds that I haven't dealt with, open hurts, past things, it can attract. And the enemy can kind of latch on and come in there and start justifying that hurt, justifying our lashing, and justifying how we're responding. Amen? Okay? That's a subtle way, and it's a subtle thing where I can let my guard down. I'm not dabbling in magic, but I'm dabbling in something that's actually being a hindrance to me and a bondage to me. All right? Okay? And so there's a couple areas I'm building to something. Words. I should get Bob up here to preach this. But words are powerful, right? Okay? It says in Hebrews, he formed the world by his words. Okay? In Genesis, there's several instances. He spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me say this. I read in Titus 3:2, it says, speak evil of no one. In James 4:11, it says, do not speak evil of one another. One thing that was said about my grandmother, and she went to be with the Lord 20 years ago. But everyone said, her name was James. We called her Dane. That's what I called her. She never said a bad word about anybody. Okay? And that's a compliment I want someone to say about me. Okay? Sometimes I can say stuff and my words have power that can release something over my own life or someone else's in a way that's not healthy and in a way that's not good. I've found so much lately, I'm so much more sensitive to it. I haven't even told Andrew, we're leaving something yesterday. And I was getting ready to really criticized this person to the T. He was a sister in Christ, and I said, I can't. Just, Lord, just stop me right in my tracks. Why is this important? What's Satan called? One of his names, all the prince of the forest flies, but the accuser of the brethren. And so oftentimes with my mouth, I can either line up and agree with Satan over someone else's life or over my own life, right? Sometimes life can be hard and life can stink. And in places where it's really tough, some good advice is sometimes just don't say anything. And what I mean by that is this. If I'm having a lousy day, I'm not going to start agreeing. Sometimes you just maybe you need to go sleep for 8 hours. You know, everything's not always the devil, and I don't want to give that impression because it's not. But there's times when it can be. I can't discredit that, okay? So I'm not going to lie. So I said, the Lord reminded me of things I said, gosh, it was probably 7 years ago that I said in a really lousy season, and I was having problems recently. Why am I having these problems? And the Lord took me back to something I kept saying 7 years ago in a bad place. And so I'd say, I have to, that's not the plan and purpose for God in me. I found a good scripture. I said that scripture over myself. I've been good since. Okay, so sometimes it's good just to, Lord, I bring this to you. I'm not going to bellyache and complain. But words matter and words speak. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, let me turn there. Luke 6, 38. Because I want to talk about our relationship with people, especially with the body of Christ. In Luke 6, 38, it says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And that's often preached as far as giving and tithing and offerings and stuff like that. And that's healthy and fine. But the context right above that is about judging and condemning. Right? Okay. And there's can be in the kingdom of God, it's called the law of the increase. So if I take a tomato and I plant it and I take the seeds out of that tomato that grow, it's going to increase. And sometimes there's an aspect in my life where if I release something, it can be increased in a greater measure back to me. Okay? Whether I'm sowing good seed of blessing, or I'm sowing seeds of cursing and destruction. Okay? The same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. It says, the Lord says, you'll be judged for every idle word that you speak. Okay? And that can really relate to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I want to speak to you some about... Let me say this. I heard a message years ago. Actually, it wasn't that long. Probably 5 years ago. I shared it here right when I got here on bitterness, judgments, and vows. And how sometimes we can allow hurts and wounds to cause unforgiveness. What's one thing that Hebrews says? It says, lest any root of bitterness seep up in you, many are defiled, right? And sometimes I have to guard myself. If I don't allow myself to be able to forgive and have that in my heart, it might come back to me in a way that's not productive. In Matthew 24:10, it says, "And then, speaking of the last days, and then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Sounds a lot like today, right? Turn on the news. I'm offended. Trigger warning. I'm this. I'm that. Okay, it's the reality of the situation. As the body of Christ, we're called to walk differently, right? And I'm called... And so what happens is when we get to that point, we demand justice. And as Americans, liberty and justice for all, right? Okay, but in the kingdom of God, I think of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. Rather than they just hung me, I'm an innocent man, curse them. Did he receive justice from these guys who hung him on the cross? No. What did he do in return? I'm going to go back to this in a minute, but do you remember Stephen? I love the story of Stephen in Acts, the first deacon, who was God used him mightily in signs and wonders. He was a servant. He was the first Christian martyr. And who was at his side giving the thumbs up when he was martyred?
Saul.
Yes. And what did he do? He released blessing. Let me read it. He didn't curse him. I think this is a big reason... planted a seed in Saul that brought him to the Lord. It says in verse 60, he says, "Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin." So what did he do? Was he done unjustly? Yeah, he was. Did he lash out? No, he didn't. And so what happens sometimes if I build my value system off harsh judgments, off unforgiveness, off my wounds, I can react in such a way to people that's contrary to the Lord. And what I end up doing is one of the worst things we can do, and I make vows. Bitterness, judgments, and vows. And a vow is something that's hard in the heavens. And Genesis 31, when Jacob was at Bethel, he said he made a vow to the Lord. And then it's chapter 28. If you look in chapter 31 of Genesis, he's kind of going off track a little bit. The Lord comes back to him and says, remember the vow that you made. When I make a vow, and I can say something, what is a vow? A vow is this. I have a vow is something said verbally or within your heart or mind by active agency, which then programs the body and mind from that point on. And it says, though the conscious mind has long forgotten the comment, the inner being does not forget it. I can make vows verbally. I can also make them on my heart. In Malachi 3:16, if you're Italian, it's Malachi 3:16. No Italians in here. Oh, James, yeah. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So he heard their voice. It says, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on his name. Or another translation says, those who think on his name. So he hears our thoughts, and they're heard in the heavens. And so if my words carry weight verbally in my heart, and I make vows, it can come back in such a way. So what is a vow? I'll never let anyone hurt me like that again. I'll never try that again. I'll never do that again. I'll never do this again. I'll never do that again. Let me give you a story. This was I heard this years ago to kind of illustrate this point. And it's a lady. Her name is Amelia. And Amelia meets her Prince Charming. We'll call his name Nathan. And she meets Nathan. He's a godly man, a man of character, a man of integrity. And they have a date for several months or whatever. Have a holy, pure relationship. They end up getting married. And once they get married, he's a corporate guy. He's climbing the corporate ladder, doing really well for himself. And she notices he's at work an awful lot. He's never really home. I don't see him, you know. So she talks to him and says, you know, Nathan, I'd like for you to be home. You know, I know you have to work late, but maybe be home at 7 o'clock so we can have some time before we go to bed. And she finds this, it's going on, and he says, well, honey, you know, I'm climbing the corporate ladder. I'm doing this for us. Once I get to this place, once I get to this situation, we'll be taken care of. We're making sacrifices. And so she agreed. And months went by, and the nagging just kept going on in her. So she said, I'm not going to talk to him again. I'll be proactive. And so she drives to work. She's going to take him out to a romantic dinner. Got herself dressed up and waiting. She walks him come out of work. He has a young lady on his arm. And he goes out to the car. And they get to the car. And he kisses her. And she's devastated. And she judges him unworthy of forgiveness and says, I will never let this happen again. This is done. And so she leaves the marriage justified to do so. Infidelity. But the problem Amelia had is she never dealt with the bitterness that's in her heart. All right? So I can say, okay, I judge you this way, but I'm not going to deal with the root of bitterness. So years go by, she finds someone else. We'll call his name Ben. She marries Ben. And Ben knows her history. He knows her past. And he says, you know, it's different. It's fine. But he didn't know he was marrying someone who'd made a vow in her heart. And he knows she's pretty tight with time and different situations and different things. And then, you know, one day Ben has a job function. Say it's a Christmas party, end of the year, and they're having an awards ceremony. And he's home. He says, I'll be home late. And she expects him about 9 o'clock, and 9 o'clock comes and goes. She calls him. His cell phone battery's dead. Where is he? 1 o'clock in the morning, he says, guys, I've got to go. Comes home excited. Tells her, you know, honey, we had this. She stops him within 5 minutes. My previous husband did this to me. Now you're doing to me. Hell freeze over before I let it happen again. We're done. Right? What happened there? She made a vow in her heart. And in some ways, she was obligated by the vow she'd made in her heart. And she judged her second husband, who had done nothing wrong, unrighteously, because she'd allowed bitterness to creep in. She never dealt with the bitterness, and she made a vow, and it prohibited her relationship. You seeing this? And it can happen often in Christian circles, right? It can happen with us. When I allow bitterness, when I allow resentment, when I allow myself to come and say, I will never allow this, I will never do this with this person, I will never do this. Again, what am I doing? I'm aligning myself with the accuser of the brethren. And what does he want to do?
Destroy.
So if it means I can't have a relationship with Bob, because I made a vow in my heart, for how it looks today, like outside of the church, I was listening. If you follow the news at all, you follow the story with the Covington kids, the Catholic kids. And I was, is everyone familiar with that? I'm assuming yes, no one's saying a word. but I was listening to someone. Basically, he was a kid, and they found out what he was doing wasn't what it was reported he was doing. But I was listening to a reporter this week, New York Times, I think, or New York Post. And, you know, she was saying, you know, we got it wrong. She said, but when I saw that kid's face, she said, it took me back to high school. She said, because I was a nerd in high school, and those guys that looked like that used to bully me. What was she reacting on? A vow. Was it an emotion or an avow? That type of person. Looks like that. I would never let them hurt me again. And I begin acting irrationally towards that. Is this making sense to you? I'm hoping it's quiet because hopefully the Lord's speaking. Okay? And I have to guard myself against those things. And I can get sidetracked in my life. And the Lord can hinder me. He can block me from amazing things. I think in my own life at times, I may have been blocked from certain things. Bondage I had in my life. Didn't do this. I didn't do that. Because I set myself up. I'm never going to let that happen to me. And so instead of allowing, and sometimes these things are fine. It's a defense mechanism. I'm not going to go in the street or whatever. But sometimes when it relates to how am I viewing. So let me say this too. How does the Lord see you? Now, a good exercise to do when you go home, take 30 seconds and say, Lord, how do you see me? What do you see me as? Who do you see me as? How do you see you? Because oftentimes, if you look, the way we react to others is the way we think the Lord will react to us, right? We try to make them into our own image. Okay, is this making sense? And I can react in a certain way because it's how I see. So if I don't see the Lord, if I just see Him as He's Father, isn't He? He's Abba Father. He's also Lord. God, He's Judge. He's all those names that are on the thing over there. He's God. And so if I only know one aspect of Him, I can really drive at times when I'm at work, drive myself. If you see me work, I'm very task-oriented. And sometimes I can do that. And I can see the Lord must see me that way. And I can do that to other people. And I drive them. Performance, performance, performance. And there are times I beat myself into oblivion. And I'm not seeing the Lord. Does the Lord demand discipline in my life? Of course He wants discipline in my life. But He's also gracious, isn't He? And so some area I have to work on, Lord, how do you see me? Or how do I see you? And oftentimes I can be blurred with how I see others. Amen? And so, forgiveness. Again, what I'm sharing this morning is not something, if you deal with it in your life, and I'm going to do this at the end. Is there anyone, the Lord reminded me of a family member last night that I've done this with. And I blocked relationship with a family member because I've said, that person's never going to do this to me again. I wasn't thinking, it was last night, the Lord just dropped it in me. How do we counteract that? Patty said before, I have the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood. But what did Jesus do when they crucified Him? I've already said it. Release blessing. Father, forgive them. Okay? What did Stephen do? He was getting snot thrown out of him. Rocks. I don't know if I would have done this. Lord, don't hold this charge against him. And I can go in my own time and say, Lord, I'm harboring bitterness against this person. Lord, I've made vows in my heart. Maybe it's not even just against this person. This is just a made-up thing. Maybe it's against tall guys like Bob. And someone did this. I don't like this. there's different types. You know, you can have someone, guys do this with women, women do this with men. I'm just talking in generalities, right? And I can hinder myself in certain areas with bosses at work. Easy to do it for that, an authority figure. But I just don't like this person. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I say, Lord, where have I allowed bitterness to sit in? Has everyone here been offended before? Because I have. Has everyone been done wrong before? I have. 75% of the time, it's not meant that way. It's the way we take it. Sometimes someone does you dirty. It may be the way, it may be your gender, it may be your race, it may be your socioeconomic status, but that's life. So I have a choice. I can either react out of that and make vows and let bitterness seep in and make vows in my heart that unconsciously dictate how I act and how I react to people. And let me say this too, if I find myself acting in ways that don't make sense, like why did I react that strongly in this case? Maybe there's a vow I need to go back. And Lord, this family member I made this vow against. Lord, forgive me. I cancel and I just start speaking blessing and just be in my room alone. I bless this person. Lord, I pray for this situation in their life. I speak this into their life. It doesn't mean everything's all hunky-dory with you and them. It doesn't mean it'll happen right overnight. But it frees me from a vow I've made that's unhealthy and unholy. And it disconnects me from the accuser of the brethren. And now I'm free to operate in love, grace, mercy, everything that the kingdom of God is, right? Andrea said this morning, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love. And I can choose to either be bound to that, or I can choose to either be free in the law of love and mercy and grace. And so that's the choice I make, right? That's the choice I make. Amelia in the story, she didn't make that choice, right? She made a vow in her heart, and she reacted accordingly. The keys to your own deliverance, and it says in Matthew, let me read this real quick, Matthew 16, 19. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The devil has no authority over me, right? Lord Jesus has all authority. He's entrusted with us. The only place the devil can run free in my life is the place I leave an open door for him, okay? And this applies for other stuff too. Substance abuse. I mentioned it before with the gentleman at my church. Guys, it happens often. I forget the statistics. Men with pornography. Okay? Make a covenant. David said, I made a covenant with my eyes in Psalms. I can't remember the verse. But I make a covenant with my eyes not to do that. Amen? You have to... I like to get secular definitions of things. I looked up bondage on Google, and I won't tell you what came up, but I had to get it off the page right away. Yeah. You make a covenant with your eyes. What I hear, simple things. Don't open yourself up and go to a rock concert where the band publicly worships Satan. Just don't do it. People do that, and it drives me up the wall. If I'm going there, then I'm going there as a minister of God. I'm not going there to take in and receive what's going on, okay? If I have trouble with the substance abuse, don't go to a place where it's going on. Simple as that. I know that shouldn't say simple as that because it's an issue for people. I shouldn't say that. And sometimes we need additional help. This isn't solved from a Sunday morning service, but it's giving you something. You say, you know what? I have a problem in this area. Might not be fixed right now, but Lord, you've told me, and Lord, I need some help. And you seek out, you go to the Lord, you obey Him, you do business with Him, you find people. If you struggle with, like if you're a man who struggles with pornography, I keep going back to that here, find someone like the guy I was just sharing with you about who overcame it. Can you pray for me, brother? You've walked this road. Can you pray for me? I'm dealing with it. Find someone who you're accountable with. Can you pray for me? Find someone you're open to. You know, I tripped my foot and I fell. I screwed up yesterday. Confess your sins to one another and pray for another that you might be healed. Right? It's okay to say, James, man, I messed up. You know, can you just pray with me? We're going to take a step further. We're going to do this. Acts 19, where we went through. Okay? Take those things. You might not have a Ouija board in your house. Okay? But it might be unforgiveness in my heart, which is where I felt the Lord tell me. It might be another area of bondage in my heart. It might be some substance. It might be some issue I have. It could be an old soul tie I have with someone. I'm going to take this. And Lord, I'm going to take it. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews says. And He purges up the dross in us. So I say, Lord, that Misty Edwards had that song years ago. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Lord, You are a consuming fire. So I take things, Lord, the areas. Lord, show me an area of my life that's hindering me from walking in Your fullness. It might happen overnight. It might be a step-by-step process that I need to go through and deal with. But show me that place, and I'm going to take that, Lord. I'm going to repent. I'm going to take a fire. We did this in my youth group when I was growing up. We took unholy things we had in our life, and we actually had a bonfire, and we burned it. It was a stack like this, man, you know. And maybe you don't have that situation, but Lord, I'm going to take this thing that's being a blockage, this little opening in the armor that I've allowed, and I've let the enemy seep in. And Lord, I'm going to take those things. Instead of aligning myself with the enemy, I choose to align myself with You. I turn from that. I would say, go home and speak it, Lord. I repent of that thing I said. I repent of that thing I did. I turn from it. And I ask, I take it. Sometimes I do things like this. If You don't do it, that's fine. Lord, I take this issue and I throw it in the fire just like they did there in Ephesus. And I'm leaving it there. And Holy Spirit, I've done my part. Do Your part. Help me. Burn it up in me and take care of me and deal with me. Amen. And I want to do something as we close. Words spoken over you as well. Chris Valentin has an excellent book, and he wrote in there when he was in high school. There was a substitute teacher. I don't think he knew the Lord then, but she was reading. She said instead of teaching, she wanted to read their palms. So she was reading everyone's palm, and he wanted to get his palm read like all the other kids. And she wouldn't read his palm, and so he went back and she said, okay, I'll read it. You're going to die at a young age and have a very short life. And she said it tormented him, absolutely tormented him. And if you read his story, he actually went through a place where he really needed some. I mean, it took him about 3 years to really get deliverance over some areas in his life that were really bound up, and that was a part of the problem. Okay. Has anyone ever said anything about you that's not true? Yes, for me, it has. Or said, has someone ever said anything that doesn't line up with what God's purpose and plan for you is? Or someone that doesn't line up? Remember all those I am confessions I read some time ago? I do this sometimes, Lord. This is who You say I am. I just speak them out loud. It's like taking a bath in the Spirit. Lord, this is who You say I am. I'm a son of God. I'm cleansed. I'm washed in the blood. I'm an overcomer. I say that a lot. Someone gave me a word one time, a man I highly, highly, highly respect. He said, you're an overcomer. And I hang on to that. I'm an overcomer. Amen. What you do? It builds up faith. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm a son of God. That means something to me. And I've had people say things over me that aren't true. Don't align yourself with the enemy in that way, too, and allow those things to keep you bound. Someone says, James, you're this or you're that. You can go home and say, Lord, go home and say, Holy Spirit, show me those things where I've subconsciously agreed with what this teacher said to me in high school. So I had a teacher in high school nasty to me, right? She said something to me I still remember, still bothers me. Or I don't just like Chris Valentin, not the same thing that happened with him. But Lord, I release that person. I operate in mercy and forgiveness. I release that person, their injustice. And Lord, I say, Your word to me is different. And I align myself with what You say. I release them from what they said, and I forgive them for what they said, and I'm going to choose to move on from that. That's not a portion of who I am, and I'm letting that go hanging here. Amen? Amen. Go home. If I give you homework, go home and just take time whenever, and just ask the Lord. Some of you may have it, and you probably already know what it is. If you don't, like me last night, say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do my part and help me walk through the process of being free, whole, and healthy. And I'm not going to hang on to the accuser of the brethren. I'm not going to allow the wounds, Lord, if there's a scab on me. Lord, I ask that you just get rid of that scab so I can be free and move on. And I challenge you and encourage you, find that person. You can be alone. No, don't do it. Anything you have should never leave the circle of offense. So if I got a problem with James, which I don't, I'm not going to go home and blab it to everybody in the world. Go into your room yourself and say, you know what? I never done anything, but I release James from that. Bless James. Speak blessing over him. Life over his family. Strength over him. And I forgive him. Lord, deal with this root. Get the root of bitterness goes deep. And deal with it within me. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for what you've said this morning. And Lord, it was crumbs, but I hope you multiply it within our hearts. Lord, bring to remembrance things in our life, Lord, that hinder us from walking in peace and righteousness and joy. Lord, the things that in our life that cause unrighteous anger and bitterness and anxiety and depression. Lord, remind us, speak to us, Lord, in our hearts, in our lives, in the night hours, when we're home alone in our bed. Lord, and begin, Holy Spirit, to walk us through the process. Deal with our hearts. Be the consuming fire. Lord, if there's someone who needs to walk with us in that, Lord, bring that person to mind in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we're a free people here. Lord, we're a righteous people. Lord, we're people who have the armor of God. We're people called to walk in fullness, the fullness of God. Lord, that your portion for us is full. Lord, your portion for us is joy in the midst of adversity. Lord, your portion for us is peace in the midst of turmoil. Lord, your purpose and your provision for us is life, Lord, when everything's screaming death around us. Lord, health and life, and Lord, that's our portion, and you've called us to walk in it. And so we thank you, Lord, for saving our hearts, saving our lives, saving us, Lord. And we thank you, as Andrea said, to start whenever she said in worship. That's not just for the future, Lord, but it begins today. It begins in this earth. Lord, that we're a model people, that just like the Ephesus church, it was a city transformational church, and the Lord was glorified because satanic bondages, or even just my own bondages that I have from my own poor choices, were burned in the fire. Jesus was given glory and honor for that. So I thank you that can be said about this house, Lord. Lord, that we're a free people, that we're a holy people, we're a righteous people, Lord, we're people full of joy. And we thank you. Lord, one more thing I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, that we can see you as you see us, that we can know, Lord, how do you see me? Lord, what do you like about me? Father, what is it about me that you love so much? Lord, put within us something, an affinity, Lord. Lord, as a child sits on her daddy's lap, Lord, and looks up to her daddy, and her daddy could do nothing wrong. Lord, I just ask, Father, that you give us that thing, that sense within us, Lord, that you put deep within our hearts, Lord, it comes from you because it's who you are. Lord, that we can see you as you see us, Father. Lord, we can know what you love about us. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to our hearts. Let us see you in a new and a fresh way. Lord, that we can see you and we can, Lord, love you in ways we've never loved before. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. You're faithful, Lord. You're holy. We honor you. We thank you for your blessing and provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all. And